remembering Fernando Valenzuela on the eve of the World Series.
You got to win. You know, we got to win for El Toro.
It's October 23rd. This is the LA Local, sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. I'm Alex Silverman.
He took pictures. He signed autographs. He always took time. I never, ever saw him say no to anybody.
Also coming up, the Menendez brothers' fate could turn any day. Meanwhile, their mansion becomes a tourist attraction.
I brought up the idea. I was like, let's go see the murder house. And she's like, okay, let's do it.
And a brothel busted in idyllic Irvine.
It came to light after neighbors started getting flyers on their cars advertising for a sexy time.
They were not very discreet.
All ahead, but first, this. Hey, if you're listening to this in an article on KNXnews.com, go right now to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, search for the LA Local, hit follow, and you'll get an update every weekday afternoon on everything you need to know that's happening in Southern California, and the morning and evening updates, too, from our colleagues at KNX News.
Fastball popped in the air, foul. Garvey, I think, has a play. And Fernando has his fifth shutout. Unbelievable.
Amazing to see all the people showing up at Dodger Stadium, leaving flowers and candles at the memorial for Fernando Valenzuela. He died last night at a hospital near L.A. USA Today saying it was liver cancer. Fernando had a record-breaking rookie season in 81, becoming the first player ever to win the Cy Young and the NL Rookie of the Year in the same season, then helped the Dodgers beat the Yankees in the World Series that year. This fan says the Dodgers have to beat them in the World Series again to honor Fernando.
We got to win. You know, we got to win for El Toro. You know, with him really hits home, you know, losing that legend. It was very unexpected, you know. Like I said, you know, but he's at a young age, you know, 63, you know, we never thought this would happen.
We talked to longtime ESPN and LA sports broadcaster Roy Firestone, who talked about how Fernando really expanded the Dodgers fan base.
But for the first time, Mexican-Americans and Hispanic-Americans who weren't necessarily big Dodger fans because of what happened in Elysian Park suddenly became Dodger fans. And I think the stats are now that it's close to 50% of the live gate now is Hispanic Americans.
Fernando served as the Spanish language broadcaster for the Dodgers since 2003 until right before the playoffs, stepped away before the start of the postseason to focus on his health. We wanted to talk, though, with someone who could speak to Fernando Valenzuela as a human being. And it turned out we had somebody like that right here in our newsroom at KNX News. Susie Jessup worked with him for 5 years as he called Dodgers games.
Of course, I'm heartbroken. I'm shocked. But I have to tell you, you know, Fernando was a great, great baseball player. But he was just, I was next to him. Literally, our studios were right next door for 5 years. And I became friends with him. So I've been friends with him for about 10 years. And he was the most humble guy I've ever met in my life. Family man, sweet, shy, very quiet, but that once I got to know him, he had a really dry wit and was really funny. And I think what he would be happy to be talking about, everyone talks about baseball, but Fernando was a fantastic golfer. And for any golfers out there, Fernando had like a 2-3 handicap, and he was a great golfer. And his favorite course was Riviera. And so a number of years ago, I took him to play golf at Riviera. And I have to tell you, these people that worked at Riviera, they came to their to work 7 to 8 hours early just to shake his hand. And there were people, we'd be in the middle of the course, and there'd be these huge mover and shakers. I'd see these golf carts coming over the hill, and these big mover and shakers would come and say, Fernando, I just wanted to shake your hand. Thank you. I saw you in the 1981 World Series. I was there. I just want to shake your hand. And so there's this one story that I love, which the most signature hole at Riviera is the sixth hole. And it's iconic because it's a par three, but right in the middle of the green, there's a sand trap. So it's very, very tricky. And depending on the pole placement, you know, it can be really, really hard and challenging. And so Fernando hits this shot and we're all screaming because we think it's going to go in the hole. He's going to get a hole in one and we're going crazy. And it lands 3 inches from the hole. And all he had to do, just this little, it was downhill, just a tiny little putt, boom, to get in, and he misses it. And we're all going, I'm like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Oh, and he was really mad, and we're just, everyone's quiet. And then a little while later, he told me, I think the next day, he said, Susana, he said, there was a bug on my ball, and I couldn't He goes, I kept on thinking to myself, should I take the bug off? Should I leave the bug there? What should I do? And he told me before he even hit that ball, he lost the putt because he took his mind off the game and he was concentrating on the bug. And so for years afterwards, it was like this golfer. It's like the shot that got away. He'd go, oh, Sasana, remember that bug?
I
go, yeah, I remember the bug. And finally I'd see him and I go, I know about the bug on the ball. Okay. I remember the story about the bug on the ball, but I just thought that's a professional athlete. He lost the shot before he even took it.
He can't stop thinking about it.
He couldn't stop thinking about it. He could not stop thinking about it. Was it the shot that got away?
He had to know what he meant to people, right? I mean, like you said, you're on the golf course and they're coming from all over. Carts are driving over hills because word got around that he's there. How did he react to that? And you couldn't go anywhere with him without him getting stops.
You know, exactly. And he, you know what, from, like I said, the biggest movers and shakers to the people that, you know, the Latinos that showed up 8 hours before their work shift, he was so gracious and so kind and so humble. He took pictures. He signed autographs. He always took time. I never, ever saw him say no to anybody.
That's KNX traffic reporter Susie Jessup with a great story about Fernando Valenzuela. Could be tomorrow that we learn whether the Menendez brothers walk free. George Gascon, the DA, said on CNN yesterday that it could be by the end of the week. We're hearing it could come tomorrow, but if not then Friday. In the meantime, the mansion in Beverly Hills where Lyle and Eric Menendez killed their parents has turned into a tourist attraction now that renewed attention is on the case, given Gascon's announcement and the Netflix show.
I brought up the idea. I was like, let's go see the murder house. And she's like, okay, let's do it.
They're visiting from the Netherlands and Mexico, traveling there, talking to KCAL News.
I just took a picture and sent it to my mom, asked if she recognized it.
I think it's really interesting to know, like, where the people actually live, or, I mean, you can see anything, but I don't know. I feel like close or something.
Stay tuned to KNX News when word comes of the decision of the Menendez case by George Gascon. We'll have it live. LA Times causing some controversy today, and the editorial page editor has now resigned after the owner of the paper decided there will not be an endorsement of either Kamala Harris or Donald Trump. Multiple outlets are now saying Mario Garza said the non-endorsement undermines the integrity of the editorial board and every single endorsement we make. She also said the board was ready to endorse Harris. Times owner Patrick Soon-Shiong stepped in, made the decision. He is responding to that on X today, and I'll quote this. The editorial board was provided the opportunity to draft a factual analysis of all the positive and negative policies by each candidate during their tenures at the White House and how those policies affected the nation. In addition, the board was asked to provide their understanding of the policies and plans enunciated by the candidates during the campaign and its potential effect on the nation in the next 4 years. In this way, with this clear and nonpartisan information side by side, our readers could decide who would be worthy of being president for the next 4 years. Instead of adopting this path as suggested, the editorial board chose to remain silent, and I accepted their decision. In other words, he's saying he basically asked the editorial board to make a voter guide rather than endorse one candidate or another. Two guys have been busted in Orange County, accused of running a brothel in Irvine.
It came to light after neighbors started getting flyers on their cars advertising for a sexy time.
They were not very discreet, and so that prompted our officers to kind of, you know, do a little investigation, thought that the whole flyer thing was suspicious. So that got sent up to our investigators, and they were able to follow up on the location, and they served a search warrant. And that's when they discovered that there was a brothel being run out of that residence.
Irvine Police Sergeant Kerry Davies says officers arrested two men inside. They're facing charges of pimping and pandering. She says there were three working girls inside, all adults, not being held against their will. They were offered assistance and then released.
Pimping and pandering sounds like a Bravo show or something. It's Karen Adams reporting from Irvine. Turns out that F the police comment we told you about the other day from L.A. City Council candidate Isabel Jurado that was recorded during a public Q&A with college students was in response to a question asked by someone who works for her opponent, Kevin DeLeon.
Yeah, this is the latest twist in this story. Council candidate Isabel Jurado was asked, I think it was last Thursday at Cal State LA, asked what she thinks of council member Kevin De Leon's use of his district's discretionary money to fund overtime for more cops in downtown Los Angeles. Her answer, she turned to a profane rap song lyric, said F the police, actually said the word as her answer, her position on this, and it was recorded. And now we've just learned that Councilmember Kevin De Leon, well, he knows who asked that question.
So as a student at Cal State LA, I'm really proud of him because he got the answer that we've been asking for five consecutive debates as to why she wants to abolish the police, and she confirmed it with a very vulgar and crude F the police.
In the recording, we hear the person ask the question, and then we hear the answer. The meeting was being recorded, this person who's known to you.
Yes, no. He's a student at Cal State Los Angeles.
He connected to your campaign?
Was he on his day off?
He was on his day off. He was a student.
Is he connected to your campaign?
Not to the campaign.
But you're saying
it was an open forum.
You recognized the voice when you heard the recording?
I recognized it, I think, yesterday for the first time.
And the council member says that this person, again, and he insists, was on his own time, did not say whether or not he was encouraged to do this. We still also don't know exactly how the recording made it into the news stream, but he does say that this person works for a council district office, so he's a low-level staffer, but an employee of Kevin De Leon.
That's Craig Figner at our City Hall Bureau. And they did it.
This is all in the family. And what a celebration.
Next. LeBron and Bronny made history. First father and son to play in an NBA game together. Checking into the game together in the second quarter against the Timberwolves. And here was LeBron afterward.
Everything was great. From the moment I woke up, I saw my daughter before she went to school. And went to work. Saw my son at work. Get to the game. And just everything, man. The whole family. It's a great moment. For Laker Nation and the way we played tonight.
And they won. Lakers beat the Timberwolves 110-103. That's the LA Local for this 23rd of October, sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. See the inventory, all 14 dealerships, lacarguy.com. 97.1 FM, ask your smart speaker to play KNX News. Get the Odyssey app, search for KNX News. We're back tomorrow. I'm Alex Silverman. See ya.